And we started this series, and it's actually two things happening simultaneously, and I'll bring you up to speed. And we're going to give you the CD of last Saturday today, so don't feel like if I go too fast that you need me to slow down. No, you can listen to the CD or the audio online. But everything you'll find is also on our app, and so check that out, the notes. And so we've started a new series and a new campaign. We're doing a soul-winning campaign. How many people in this place right now that you can show by sign of raising your hand know somebody that, now listen, that is not saved, but you've been praying for them, you've invited them to church, but over the process of time, we don't want to admit this, but to the point we almost just say, well, I guess they'll never get saved, and we kind of take our hands off it. But how many people, you know somebody that needs to get saved? I think most of us do. We all know somebody needs to get saved, and we're not even going to try anymore. I've done invited them to church, Pastor. I've already prayed for them, Pastor. If God was going to do it, he would have already done it, Pastor. But you know what? We're talking, and in this process, God dropped in my heart years ago an idea that I believe it is a tool to help us reach people that seem to be unreachable. Matthew, we looked at that verse, it said, seek first the kingdom of God. That's more than just want people to get saved, and that's part of it. It's literally saying, seek what the king, how the king does stuff. God, show me what to do in this process. Give me the right tool for this job. Give me the direction for this journey. Give me the idea that I need to follow through with. I jokingly say I only have one tool, and that's a hammer. And I use the hammer for everything, and I don't do anything correctly when it comes to construction because I only have one tool. I see people work with a hammer. It works for them. Why not for me? But I take it way beyond the boundaries, and if I need to change a light bulb, where's the hammer? And you can laugh and say, well, Pastor, everybody knows that you don't use a hammer for this. And yet in the church world, we'll take a tool and try to use it for areas that God said, I didn't intend it for that. Let me show you the right tool so you can have success in that area. Can I get an amen? God wants you to be successful. And if something's not working, sometimes we need to be willing to back up. Take a deep breath. All right, God, I know your word works. Heaven and earth will fail before your word fails. Isaiah 55:11, it goes forth, it won't return void. Okay, God, your word says you don't want anybody to perish, but your will is that all come to the saving knowledge. Well, God, what am I missing in this? And that's when we're open to say, God, speak to our hearts. And one of the things that we talked about last week was this concept of unified focus. And I gave you many scriptures that talked about how they were one heart and one purpose. The Bible talks about the power of unity. One to put 1,000 to 10,000. Something happens when we come together with the central focus and purpose that above anything else, our priority over the next 40 days when we started this is that we are going to get ourselves together as a group, as a church, with the same purpose and the same heart that we want to see people get saved. Amen. And so we challenged you over this process to be open. Let God speak to your heart. Who do you want to get saved? Who's God placed on your heart to be praying for? And we put them together, and we're going to do this every week, and we'll do it again later, for you to write names on cards. We don't want their contact information. We're not trying to generate a mailing list so we can go around you to talk to them. We're not going to visit them. We're not going to call them. I'm not into gimmicks or games. Are you listening to me? There is the real. The very fact that you know that there is some hypocrisy, fake stuff, should tell you that there's a real, because what the devil does is he twists what God does. And so we got to get back to the center of the road and say, okay, God, what is the principles? How do you handle this? And I believe that God's principles work. And the last time we did this, which is literally 10 years ago, we saw an amazing response. We saw over 400 people, 426 I believe it was, get saved in the same weekend. Now hear this, it wasn't even everybody in the same building. Because we had families that we were praying for who were out of state. Are you listening?
Yeah.
And that Sunday, say that Sunday. The members of the church who were praying, and that Sunday they got a phone call from family and friends out of state and said, I don't know why, I'm just going to call and let you know that I went to church today and I gave my heart to the Lord. This is not someone you dragged to church and you made them say a prayer. This is people, they weren't even there to say, can you go to church with me? Because they weren't there. But God worked it out. There's something within the context of the Word of God when we begin to obey God and follow His way of doing things that allows Him, as we obey Him, His power comes on our natural. And we can see people get saved. I'm believing we are going to see so many people get saved at the end of this journey. Amen. Thank you for the four or five of you that really believe that. I'm serious about this. This is not a game. This is not a gimmick. We have set aside a date. It's going to be the Sunday before Easter. We're going to throw out our net as unity, as one group, which I'm telling you, between now and then, do not invite them to church. Do not witness to them. And if they call and say, can I come to church with you? Because you've invited them 1,001 times, look at them and say, I'm sorry, it's not a good time. You think I am joking. I am not joking. You're like, well, why wouldn't you come? They should come anytime. We have a perspective of something, and we think our perspective is right. Proverbs says every man's ways are right in their own eyes, but God brings the clarity. God brings the final judgment. And I'm telling you, a shotgun process doesn't always work for everybody. We want people to go out and to the highways and byways and invite and lead people to the Lord. But there's also another process when we come together, and I'm telling you, over the next 6 weeks, we don't want you to invite your unsaved neighbors that you've been trying to get saved. And if your unsaved neighbor say, I'm ready for church, say, it's not a good time. Because we need, as a church, to get all of our mind and our heart and our faith at the same place, and at the same week, we will launch the net in unity, not in division. And if that doesn't make sense to you, that's okay. Put it on the back burner, because the truth is still the truth. It works. You just got to grow in it. And my best suggestion to you is put it on the back burner and say, God, if this is real, open my mind so I can understand what you're doing. Because I'm not believing for 400 people to get saved. I'm not believing for 500 people to get saved. I'm not believing for 1,000 people to get saved. I found a scripture in Acts that if it's not this time, it will be a time in my journey on this earth. I'm believing for a service where one day we get 3,000 people saved in the same day. Because I'm saying if God did it then, He could do it now. Are you with me? I'm tired of hearing and seeing pastors. I don't mean to get on this soapbox, but seeing pastors parade the attendance crowd, and all they did is shift the people from one church to the next church and say, look what God has done. They didn't do anything. They moved fish out of one pond into the next pond, out of one fish tank. And we can't build church in the kingdom of God doing that. We have to build the kingdom of God of going to the highways and byways and seeing people who do not know Jesus come and bow their knee and confess and have the greatest miracle ever in the history of eternity. And that's a heart conversion, salvation coming from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And you might think, Pastor, you're pretty excited about people getting saved. You better believe I'm excited about people getting saved. I want you to get healed. I want you to be successful. I want you to get your stuff and be blessed with all that God has for you. But we have to keep priorities, priorities. And the greatest priority is to see, the greatest story is to see people get saved. That's why I'm challenging you. Don't write somebody on there that you're like, man, I almost led them to the Lord. We got almost through it. They are so close, Pastor. I want you to put them down. But I'm looking for people that you think it's got to be Jesus. I'm looking for those people for us to join our faith together, that you know that something's about to freeze over if they ever got saved. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? They're a lost cause. We'll put them down because with God, all things are possible. I'm building my faith and believing to build your faith to the place that when we get to the phase of throwing out the net, you're not going to be timid. You're not going to be weak. You're going to be bold and courageous and have confidence in God that even people that you thought would never get saved, they're going to get saved. Can I get an amen? Amen? Well, Pastor, what happened if 3,000 people don't get saved? What if only 1,500 people get saved? I'm still going to rejoice. What if 500 get saved? The Bible says when one person gets saved, heaven throws a party. I don't care. I'm just setting my goal to a level that's beyond what we can do, beyond what we can understand. Well, Pastor, there's no way you'll get 3,000 people besides the church people in this building. It's not my problem. That's not my problem. There's 1,200,000 square feet outside these doors. We'll find a space. Are you listening to me? That's not my problem. My focus is to obey what God tells us to do. And so we're starting, and you'll see from time to time, and we'll focus on this later, these cards. So first of all, we're going to get in unity. We're going to have the same purpose, same understanding. This is not a game. It's not a gimmick. It's not for any other reason to but see people get saved. If they live out of state, we're celebrating that. If they live so many miles away that they can't make the drive, we're still celebrating that. Even if they aren't able to come to Hope Church, we are celebrating the conversion, the salvation of people. We want the kingdom of God to expand. Amen. We're going for growing the kingdom. Not for building our kingdom. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Say number one. We're focusing on unity. Say unity.
Unity.
We call it unified focus. Number two, here's our key verse. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to there. And that's going to be the Gospel of John. Have you ever heard this verse before? John's Gospel chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. And over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about a little piece of this verse, which are ingredients. You know, I'm not good at cooking or baking, but I can tell you what, I've eaten some good food, and I've eaten some bad food. And one thing I notice, it's all about the ingredients and the preparation of making it, the process. You can have a perfect process, get the wrong ingredients. Some stuff, it should not be eaten. It's like, I was in the Philippines, and I love the Filipinos, and I was just there for that funeral a few weeks ago, and we went to a restaurant, and they were like, it was like a buffet. I'm like, okay, what is this? And I mean, the Filipino people are the sweetest, kindest, loving people you ever meet. And so I'm going through this buffet with Pastor Jesse, and I'm like, okay, this is beef, it's good. So I started eating it, and Matt Ferguson, who traveled with me, leaned over and said, you know you're eating cow tongue, right? You know how your perspective can change in a... You go from, this is kind of good, I wonder, to, this is, okay, so anyway, we're getting, I believe that in this John 3:16 that there's different ingredients, different variables, different, call it what you want, different truths that will help us be focused and effective so that when we launch the net, just like, I mean, some of us, we've been in the church world, we're like, Peter was, Lord, I've been launching this net all night, and I just got it cleaned, and I'm not ready to do it again. But if Jesus tells us to launch the net, some of us might feel like the widow whose husband died, leaving her with so much debt that they come to get her sons, and she went to the prophet, and his answer was, go borrow. You don't understand. I can go borrow all the pots I can, but they're not going to loan it to me because I'm in debt. They're taking my sons because of debt. I just checked the app. That number's low. Yeah, but can you imagine? You're like, come up for prayer, and you say, I've been in bankruptcy so many times. I have a credit rating of 50. What should I do? Go borrow and buy a car. No, you don't understand my problem. But how many people know God understands the situation better than we do? That when he says, throw the net on the other side, your mind's going, that does not make a difference. But Jesus said, if you do it because I told you to do it, I'm going to make the difference. So Gospel of John chapter 3, you should be there by now. You can look on the screen if you don't have your Bible. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 16, King James Version says, for God so loved the world. Say this with me if you would. For God so loved the world that he
gave
that whosoever... You know, you guys started off so well. In unity at the beginning, and we start fading off like an echo. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved. And notice where it ends. Life. My point, my thought for today is that if we are going to end with life, we need to make sure we start with God. For God, life. What do we typically do in the church world or in a Christian walk as we're growing in the things of God? And I'm here to challenge you. We are all growing, or we should all be growing. No one's perfect. No one's flawless. We are all growing. We're all learning. Amen? But maybe you've never done this. I know I've done it. I have in history, and I had to grow through this process, and I still have to bring myself back into check because there's times where I get so excited or ambitious or wanting to do something that I will do what I want and then try to tag God on the end of it. Lord, bless my plans. Lord, bless what I want to happen. And the pendulum swing is we got to learn to come back and say, okay, before I start asking God, I need to find out, God, what he is asking from me. Before I ask God for something, what is he asking of me? I can tell you how many church people know the scripture, for my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. But they don't back up the verse before where Paul was saying, thank you for your offering. Don't get quiet on me. I should have taken the offering before I said that, but that's okay. It's just... A lot of times we're asking God and never looking into the condition of the direction. We tag a prayer with the name of Jesus thinking that will be the solution to do all that we want, and we've never done the process of saying, God, what is the journey? What is the assignment? What is your will in this? Because God's word is his will. His will is revealed by the revelation of the truth of his word. And I think some of us are afraid to find out because we've been taught, and if this offends you, I apologize, but we've been taught by religion, and I'm not into religion. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion is what has happened when man got a hold of it and began to control it and manipulate it. And I was talking to somebody recently, we were talking, and somehow got into the Catholic Church, and I got friends that are in the Catholic Church, but I'm telling you, they're like, will Catholics go to heaven? Only people that know Jesus will go to heaven. But the history of the Catholic Church is at a place that they said, you can't read the Bible, only the priest can understand the Bible. Well, that's your first mistake. We challenge you around here to challenge everything. Anything I say, don't take it for anything until you challenge it with the Word of God. Because I want you to grow into the things of God where you are willing, regardless of who says it, if they're on TV, not on TV, whatever, that regardless of what is said is always challenged by the Word of God. Right. Where's that in the Bible? That's what you need to ask. Because too many people drink the Kool-Aid. And they don't end with life, and they can't figure out what the problem is. What Kool-Aid have you been drinking lately? What Kool-Aid? What ideas have we been surrounding and swallowing ourselves that is affecting us? And if you don't think that the ideology or ideas are not important, if you just think any thought you can process it and digest it doesn't make a difference, then you're misunderstanding the kingdom of God, because Jesus himself told the disciples one day on the journey, are you ready for this? Challenge it. Because some verses I'll throw on the screen, some I'll put on the reference, some I'll give you the reference, some you're just going to have to look for. Because I dare you to look into it. Because I know if you begin to look into it, God can speak to you more clearly. And Jesus, in the story, Jesus is walking with the disciples, and he said something strange. And Jesus talked like in metaphors and parables and illustrations because he wanted them to get a revelation, a discerning from heaven of what is actually being said. And Jesus looked at the disciples one day and said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They walked away and said, what did he mean by that? You think sometimes you read the Bible and say, what did you mean by that? Can you imagine being a disciple walking with Jesus and he can see your facial expression? And you know Jesus walked away dropping some major spiritual bombs on them, and them not getting it, and him walking away shaking his head and said, they're not ready for it. They're not getting it yet. There's even a time where Jesus said, I got so much to tell you, but you're not ready. Yeah. And Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're like, oh, leaven. Leaven? Yeast bread. He knows that we didn't bring any bread to eat. Yeah. It's amazing how when man gets in it, we start redefining and one thing to the next to the thing, and all of a sudden they're freaking out saying, oh, he knows we forgot bread. Oh, he's on us again. Oh, and Jesus finally stopped them in the mix. And we don't know how, you got to read a little between the lines. Of Jesus in the middle stopped and said, wait a minute, guys, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not talking about earthly bread. Here's what I want you to understand. Beware of the teaching. Right. Now think about this. These are men who traveled and lived with Jesus and heard him speak every day. They were under the best preacher and teacher history humanity has ever seen. His anointing was so strong, people were getting healed everywhere. The Bible says that if all the things that Jesus did were written down in books, that the world itself could not contain it. Jesus had a bad day in ministry when all he could do was lay hands on the sick and they get healed. That's what the Bible says. When he went into his own hometown and they recognized him for who he was in the natural, not who God called him and who he really was. That he could do no mighty work except for lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And Jesus said to people that were under his direct mentorship, daily hearing his truth, be careful. Guard your heart. Remember that message a few weeks ago? Guard and guide your heart. Be careful what you allow in. Because some of us aren't open to God because we didn't guard our heart. And maybe you didn't know any better and someone looks spiritual. All of a sudden, they begin to tell you stuff and you're like, man, God put sickness on me? God will take my job away to get glory? And these are lies of the enemy. The Bible, I'll put them in the category of doctrines of devils because not every doctrine comes from God. The Bible refers to doctrines of devils. And because we've been taught that God is the source of the problem so he can get glory, instead of getting into the Bible and say, wait a minute, Jesus said that the thief, John 10:10, has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the expressed image of the invisible God. He is the visible image of the invisible God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's none good but one, and that's God. And what was he trying to communicate? God's not the author of the sin. God's not the author of confusion. God doesn't tempt you with evil, James says. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. It's the devil trying to steal what rightfully belongs to you as a child of God. And if you don't understand that, we begin to become passive and timid, and we become weak and frail, waiting, hoping the enemy doesn't try to come and knock our teeth out. But the Word of God, all the way from beginning through the end, tells you not to be weak and timid. It tells you to be strong and courageous. For the righteous are bold as a lion. Why? Because God wants you to know with confidence who you are in Christ. How do we get there? By approaching the throne and say, okay, God, show me from your word. Yeah. Don't start in Genesis. By the time you get to the begat, you'll be gone. Get into the New Testament. Get into the covenant, revelation of where God's speaking to you today. Get into the epistles, the letters written to the church. What is God saying? What is God speaking? Because you got to approach the throne of God and say, okay, God, speak to my heart. Not from the idea of, okay, God, speak. Right. See, you don't understand him. Right. When you understand him, when you know who he is, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe, not they are worse. For us to end in life, we have to begin with God. For us to end in life, we have to begin with God. We have to begin to approach his throne, approach his word, because Jesus is the word, John 1:1 and John 1:14. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. In verse 14, and the word became flesh. Verse 2, and that word, he was full of life, and that life was the light of man. Psalms 119, and the entrance of his word brings light. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come. God reveals his word and gives you light. David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God reveals his word and gives us light. He gives us direction, but we got to be willing to pursue it. In Gospel of John, chapter 10, in right the verse before this whole John 10:10, I've come that you might have life, Jesus talks about being the doorway. And he says, anybody who comes through me will be saved. And we can celebrate that. We've prayed that and seen that and read that and say, wonderful. Jesus is the pathway to salvation, and he is. But in the context of that verse, keep reading. And in that verse in Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, and they shall go in and out, and find pasture. Wait a minute now. Why would God tell us, why would Jesus say, I'm the doorway through salvation, anybody who comes to me then will go in and out? Are you telling me that I should go to church on Sunday and get things right and go out and do stuff during the week and get things wrong and come back and repent on Sunday and live in the world on Monday and come back and repent? Is that what you're talking about? That's not what he's talking about. Because 1 John tells us that God doesn't want you to continually live in sin and go back and forth and back and forth. Right. Romans 6 says, shall we allow the freedom that God's given us to allow us to go back and live in sin? And he said, God forbid. What is he saying there? I'm telling you that in one the original translation, he's not only the doorway or the gateway or any way you want to call it. Another translation in the original Greek says that he's the opportunity. He's saying, listen, I am the Word, verse 14 later. He said, if you come through me, if you keep coming in and out of the Word, and you come, keep coming back to the Word, keep coming back, you're going to find pasture. That word pasture in the Greek word literally means growth. I'm going to grow you. Not physical height, not physical strength necessarily, but Romans 10 tells us that faith, Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing. God wants your faith to grow. There's a lot of scriptures talking about your faith is growing exceedingly. And when your faith is growing, you can receive Hebrews 6, 12, because we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. We need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What am I telling you? Jesus said, once you're saved, once you're in the family, you begin to have access. You begin to have access, just not to the written word. And anybody in the world can memorize the Bible. Oh, I know the Bible. I'm going to heaven. Not unless you know Jesus. Because are you listening to me? The Bible tells us that demons know the word and tremble at his presence. Are you listening? The Bible says that when the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, he was quoting the Bible. So it's not that we have a mental understanding, but a heart revelation. Amen. A heart revelation, Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he has revealed them by his Spirit. These are just scriptures that tell us that God's saying, listen, when you are saved, when you come through me, you have access to come in and out of the Word of God and get the revelation, get the truth. Yeah. Are you still with me? Yeah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Are you having fun today? I'm going to abbreviate the first two because we understand many of you have read this, but let me get to the point. Matthew 7, verse 13, Jesus is talking, and he talks about in verse 13, the beginning part, enter through the narrow gate. Then he goes into the broad path, the broad gate, the broad road. And many find that, and it leads to destruction. Stay with me. Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 14, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. The road that leads to life is not as wide as the road that leads to destruction. Anybody can swim downstream with the masses. And let me challenge you, I don't know who I'm talking about, that when you go to validate the decisions of your life, don't look to see how many people are doing it the way you're doing it. Because you might be part of a bigger group that's following the same path. That doesn't make it right. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many find that. It's easy to swim downstream, but Jesus begins to say, wait a minute, you need to enter a gate, you need to go down a path that doesn't seem wide, it's narrow, and it seems small sometimes, but it's the road that leads to life. And I want you to notice something. That word life there is the word in the Greek word. It's the Zoe kind of life. It's the God quality of life. It's just not talking about eternal life in heaven, but the life that affects your life here today. It's the same word that Jesus used when he said, I have come that you might have. Same word. And he's saying, wait a minute here. I want you to notice something, that it's not always a broad path, an easy, wide road to recognize. Not everybody's going to get it. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the carnal, natural mind of understanding, the things of God many times look foolish. Salvation through the preaching of the word, that doesn't make sense. Let's just have 101 things you have to do, and it's when you get done with your penance, then you're saved. That's what religion will do. And God said, listen, your salvation is not based on you, it's based on me. Your salvation's based on me. What you believe and receive, that I paid the price. Not to go down this road too far, but even the woman, you ever heard the story, the woman with the issue of blood? And she said within herself, because she had gone through all the doctors and all the money and was only worse. And I'm not against doctors, but this is the story, the way it plays out. And she heard that Jesus was coming. And under the customs of her world, she could not be in a public setting. They had a right to stone her upon observation of her being amongst people. Because the moment she was unclean and the moment she touched somebody, they were unclean. Are you listening to the mindset? But something on the inside, and that's where we're going to get, where you just don't pray for somebody because you thought of them, but you start praying for somebody because God birthed them in your heart. I want you to begin to pray. And I'm telling you, some of you will begin to argue with yourself. Well, why should I include them? Don't argue with you, because it's not you. You're arguing with God. Say, okay, God, I'm going to write them down. I don't know why. I haven't seen them in 20 years, but I'm going to write them down. Don't you worry about the details. You just worry about the direction. And something on the inside of her. And she said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And the Bible says that she pushed through the crowd to the point that when Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples were amazed at the question, because they said, Lord, don't you realize there's so many people? Everybody's bouncing off each other. But she had gone through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. And that hem of the garment was not the hem of a cloth as we understand it in our day and age. The hem of the garment was a string with knots that symbolized the word of God. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. And if you want to see the life of Jesus, look at the results according to the old covenant of those who fulfilled the law. Deuteronomy 28. So Jesus walked in all the benefits and the blessings of the covenant, because he fulfilled the covenant. And when she reached out and touched, what she was literally doing, you could say it this way, she was reaching out and touching the obedience of the commands that he had fulfilled. She was saying, if he obeyed it, I want the benefit. If he fulfilled it, I want the result. And if I can get a hold of it by faith, I can access the results of everything he did. That's what salvation is. That's where the Jews stumbling at the corner, at the stone, because they are trying to earn salvation instead of receiving salvation by faith. What is salvation by grace through faith? I want the benefits of all that you've done, Jesus, and I'm going to submit to you as my Lord and Savior. As a result, I am clean from sin. I'm forgiven, but I get the benefits of your obedience. And when she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus felt virtue flee. He didn't pray for it. He didn't see her coming. He just knew something had changed. There's times in our lives when we get to dig into the word of God and we begin to experience the life of God. It moves beyond the understanding. It moves beyond the practicality. It moves beyond sometimes the explanation. All you know is you're different. God is doing something. I don't know how I know it, but I know it's all at peace. Storms on the outside, but inside I know the Lord has touched me. Haven't gone to the doctor for a final report, but I know I'm healed. I can't explain it, and people will mock that, and people will ridicule that, but they don't understand that you have to receive Hebrews 6:12 by faith, and it's coming through the doorway of pursuing the revelation that God has for you, because the moment you touch the rhema of God, the moment you touch the revelation of God, if Jesus is on the earth, the moment you touch His covenant. He didn't even have to be mentally, naturally aware that you were coming, but he knows something's left. Virtue has left me and gone into somebody who was ready to receive it. Yeah. Stay with me. Let's go back to that verse. Say, thank you, Jesus. Enter through the narrow gate. Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Notice this. And only a few, catch this, only a few do what? Find it. Do you know why a lot don't find it? Because they're not looking for it. You have to be hungry and thirst for the things of God. God, you called me. Here's what you called me to have. Here's what you called me to do. Here's what you called. Lord, your word tells me I'm supposed to have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And God, I haven't been happy to lately. Something's missing in the gap of what you said I am and what I feel I am today. And you begin to pursue the word of God, not the begets. You get in and say, God, your word says, and as you begin to go in and out of the word, in and out of the truth, in and out of what the word of God is saying, you're going to get revelation. You're going to get revelation. And the moment you make contact, life comes into you. His word is medicine, the Bible says, to your flesh. The moment you make contact, things begin to change. Few find it because they don't look for it. I want us over the next, I would say 40 days minus 1 week, 33, I can do math. Over the next 33 days, I want you to begin to pursue him through his word. Instead of just trying to get stuff from his hand, start trying to touch the heart of God. Be like David, who said, even God himself said, that is a man after my own heart. Say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you as my healer more than I just want to be healed. Because if I know you as my healer, I can not only deal with what I'm dealing with today, but I can walk this thing out. Are you listening to me? There's a big difference to saying I was healed than I know you as my healer. Because the moment I know you as my healer, not only any sickness that was in my body, it cannot stand, it cannot stay in your body and your presence. Why? Because you're the healed of the Lord. Are you listening to me today? But all of a sudden, you not only came out of an experience of being healed, as you go through the journey of life, the moment another temptation, the moment another sickness or disease tries to touch your body, the same healer that you knew before is the same healer you know, and not only can he heal you, he can keep you in divine health. This is healing, this is blessing, this is peace of mind, this is joy, this is any of the promises of God. When you begin to pursue him, you begin to see who he is in that situation. He'll guide and direct you what you are supposed to do, because faith without works is dead. Faith needs action. Look at the miracles of Jesus, and you'll find that he instructed people to do stuff that didn't make sense in the natural. He told the man with the withered hand, stretch out your hand. He's thinking, I already know it's withered. You know it's withered. Should I stretch it out and show everybody else's withered? Because it was just not so that God could get glory as people see it, but it was his act of faith, of obeying an instruction that came from heaven. When he told Mary and Martha, remove the stone and your brother will come back to life. It wasn't there a miracle in the stone rolling. They can roll every stone between now and eternity and not see anybody else get healed or raised from the dead. But it was the fact that from the word of God, the word said, remove the stone. And when we begin to obey, even when it doesn't fully understand, we are starting with God, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the completer of it. If he started you on the assignment, your obedience keeps you in his love. And as you do that, it is his responsibility to complete the process. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a loud shout. Last verse, Jeremiah 29:13. And if you shall seek, and you shall seek me, and if you seek me, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Get past the religion, get past the game, get past the gimmick, get past the emotion, and start saying, God, I'm going to pursue you through your word. I'm going to begin to look in the perfect law of liberty, James says. I'm going to begin to pursue you through your word. And as I'm seeking you, I'm coming in and out of that word. Jesus knew that you had things to do. He knew you had people to see, problems to deal with, bills to pay. But he said, I know, when you come out, don't stay out. Make sure you keep coming back. If I only come in and out of the Word of God once every 6 months and I wonder, why is my faith not so strong? I could tell you. You could take the strongest person and stop feeding them and they'll become the weakest person within a period of time. Regardless of where they started. What you feed grows, what you starve weakens. But over the next process, I'm challenging you. One, find somebody, let God speak to your heart, more than one, that's fine, that needs to get saved. Two, keep coming to church. It's a momentum builder. We all have that feeling of, man, I haven't been here in a while. It seems so different. I get it. But take this process and say, I'm going to dedicate and commit. Make Sunday a priority. Sunday's a priority. Going to the house of God is a priority. Are you with me? A lot of preachers don't say that anymore. It's more or less, come to church when you're convenient. Come to church if you don't have anything else to do. Come to church if your favorite movie's not out. Come to church if your kids don't have a sporting event. Come on, somebody. Come to church when you're feeling just your best. Come to church when you've got a new outfit you want to show off. Any other time, you don't have to come to church. We understand. We don't always understand because there's a thief, John 10, that's out there to steal, kill, and destroy. And I get tired of seeing people's teeth kicked in my life and you wonder, God, where are you? God said, I never moved. Where have you been, Adam? Where are you, Adam? And Adam responded, that woman you gave me, God. Don't you let anybody dictate to you the direction of destiny in your eternity. Because God's not going to look at it and say, well, you know, I could see they were going to give you a hard time because you didn't. And so it's don't work that way. Right. It's getting quiet on me. Okay. And people are running for the doors because their kids have a soccer game today. You shall seek me and find me when you search with me. Search for me with all your heart. Writing a person's name. Spend time this week praying. Just do more. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you pray for 30 minutes, pray for more. Pray an hour a day, pray more. Pray 10 minutes, pray more. Pastor, I don't pray. Then it's easy for you. More is going to be, you're just working on. Pray 5 minutes, 5 o'clock. You're more. You hear me? Just get in the rhythm. Get in the game. How many of us, and I'm not looking at anybody, I'll look up, how many people in life, we're like, you know what I mean, we know, you see these sports fans, we know how every game should be played. As I'm watching college basketball, because it is March Madness, as I'm watching college basketball, what are they doing? I could have done a better play than that. No, I couldn't. In my mind, I could have done it better. In my mind, I would have made that three-point shot. In my mind, I wouldn't have fouled. But I'm not in the game. Get in the game. Fast. I encourage you to fast. If you can fast, everybody can fast. Fast a meal. Fast a day. Fast 3 days. Whatever. Are you listening? We don't dictate to you what to do because Romans tells us to operate at our level of faith. I'm encouraging you to be open. Say, God, show me what to do. You operate. Not out of anything someone's telling you to do. You operate at your level of faith. And I'm telling you, if it's a God thing, he will ask you to do a little bit more than you're used to. Because he likes us growing. Amen?